T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type
right. Peyton Eli, Manning brothers, at least two of them, made their Monday Night Football debut last night. By all accounts, it went well. I watched some of it, not all of it. We'll spend a few minutes on it in the next segment. Jeff Coggins will be here a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, she is a senior writer for The Athletic, an analyst, television star for the Big Ten Network. It's Nicole Auerbach, maker of The Big Interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So, Nicole, the big headline from yesterday, Clay Helton, a former Memphis assistant, out as USC's head coach after week two. Obviously, bad loss over the weekend. Did we know when we went to bed Saturday night that Clay Helton might have coached his final game at USC?
Well, I think if anyone went to bed late enough that they watched that game, yes, because it certainly had the feel of one of those games where you're just like, this has to end now. Like, I don't see how you can put this team back out there and have this coach, you know, run through the tunnel. The fan base was clearly out. There were different times they booed their own team, and it just cleared out in that fourth quarter. And so, you know, it was one of those moments, and I remember feeling that way watching Les Miles when, you know, he was, I believe, also week two firing at LSU. I mean, it's like there's just these moments where you're like, they cannot move forward like this. But still, like, you go through Sunday and you're like, all right, he's still in charge. I guess, you know, maybe they'll wait until they lose the second game and get to Monday, and then that's when they made the decision. But, yeah, I mean, if anyone watched Stanford just bully them around the line of scrimmage and just the way that game went, I don't think you were surprised when you saw that news break on Monday.
It felt like for literally years now, nobody really thought Clay Helton was the answer at USC. He was just somebody who, I guess, won enough to keep his job. Is there a larger lesson there? It reminded me of something Jeremy Foley, the former athletic director at Florida, once said, which is the first time he thinks about maybe firing somebody, he feels like it's time to just go ahead and do it, because you're on your way to that regardless. Clay Helton seems to fall under that umbrella. Obviously, with the benefit of hindsight, it's pretty clear they should have done this years ago. Why do you think they didn't do it years ago, specifically after the 2019 season when he went 8-5, which followed a 5-7 season?
Yeah, see, that's immediately where mine went as well. A lot of people asked me today, like, oh, what'd you think when you saw it yesterday? And it was, well, if you're firing a coach after two games, it means you made a mistake.
Right.
Like, this should have happened in last December or the December before, right? Like, you should have been giving your program a chance to have a new coaching staff, get everything in place in a full off season, and not basically torpedo an entire recruiting class the way that you do when you make a change at midseason. So that was one of my first reactions, which goes along with what you're saying about Jeremy Foley. I mean, you can't, especially in this day and age, you can't really exist as a head coach and not have support. And everyone knows when you don't either. And, you know, my colleague, Antonio Morales at The Athletic, he had his story out today that quoted a number of player parents or and recruit parents that knew. I mean, one of them said it felt like Clay Helton was a two-game losing streak away from being fired. Why would you ever commit to that coach, right? Like, so you feel that because there's just not a commitment from the school. There's lukewarm, you know, vote of confidence is out there. Like, it just, it doesn't work for anyone. And really, again, with all of these situations, like, it comes down to buyout money. These coaches get extended for not really achieving, like, major milestones, but, oh, they, you know, they've reached the Rose Bowl or whatever, so you have to extend them. This is the same issue with Scott Frost, Jeremy Pruitt, right? Guys that didn't do anything actually deserving of an extension, but then that creates a more massive buyout, and, you know, that becomes a stumbling block. USC also, you know, I think it's worth pointing out, I mean, they were going through that Varsity Blues scandal, and that was sucking up a lot of time and energy for that athletic department as well. And now you have a new AD. He's been there long enough. He felt like he was able to make this decision. But you're absolutely right. I mean, there's really, outside of money and, again, like, comfort as a new AD and dealing with other scandals, like, there's not a good enough reason to not make this change. When you have to make it two games into a season, that's on you for not making this decision at the right time.
Talking to Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic. She is on Twitter at Nicole Auerbach. I won't hold you to it. I'm not asking you to report. Just educated guess. You're plugged in. Who do you think is going to be the next head coach at USC?
So it's an interesting question because I've been talking to people all day and then obviously reading what my colleagues have been reporting. And the lists are obviously super similar, you know, across wherever you're reading them because it's, you know, a top five job and there's only a couple people that are going to be actually qualified for this. So it's super interesting because I think, you know, you got people wondering if a Bob Stoops or a Chris Peterson would be interested in coming back to coach. And I think you've obviously got to kick the tires, make those calls. And that would be a reason to make an early season change, right? If you're actually trying to hire somebody who's out of coaching and you want to get a jump on them. But for everybody else, I mean, like Luke Fickell, you know, he was hired by Mike Bone, who's now the AD at USC, but is a Midwest guy. He's only ever coached there. Like a Luke Fickell, a James Franklin, I think would be a great fit actually. And I think he would be interested in going. I think when you're somewhere for a long time, you know, you hit a point where it's like, okay, well, you're not winning a national championship or a Big Ten title every year. You need to, you know, we're uncomfortable. There's like an uncomfortable faction of the fan base. So I think he might be interested. His name has been linked to this job every single time that, you know, Clay Helton's on the, you know, his seat has been hot. So like those names are fairly obvious. And I think those are the ones you got to try to get if you're USC, because you got to go splashy and you got to get someone people are going to be excited about because they weren't. And you have to, you know, absolutely do a 180 from that. But it's going to be pretty interesting. Cause again, if you're going after one of these sitting head coaches, we got a long ways to go in the season. So yeah, you can gauge some interest via third parties, but it's going to be a while until we know which direction USC ultimately goes.
One of the more surprising results from this past weekend, Arkansas overwhelmed Texas. Razorbacks are now 2-0. They're ranked 20th in the AP poll, 24th in the coaches poll. Are you surprised that Sam Pittman is, and I recognize it's still very early, but let's just speak factually. He's got Arkansas ranked in the top 20 right now. Does that surprise you?
I guess not. Not after what we, you know, saw last year, because it was one of these guys and other coaches would rave and the players who played for him, you know, when he was an assistant would rave about him. But we've seen this a couple of times now about just how hard this team plays for him, how up they were for this game. And they were just clearly the superior team. They could do whatever they wanted. They could run the ball wherever. And so they clearly hired the right guy. I mean, you know, you think about his introductory press conference, we all try not to get like too high or too low on people out of that. But there's just something. Like there was a phase, I think, that off season where like a few offensive line coaches, former O-line coaches became head coaches. And you just like kind of love to see it because they're such a unique breed. But it's clearly been perfect from a cultural standpoint. He's also really hit on transfers and the right transfer quarterback and just sort of like some of those pieces that are really hard to manage, you know, in this day and age in college football. But it's just cool to see the energy because you knew that team knew that they could win the game and that as they were dominating the game, they believed that they should. And you could really feel that. So, I mean, the SEC West is a disaster. I would not wish it upon anyone to have to coach and play in that league. But I do think, you know, you have these opportunities, and again, this is a non-conference game, future conference game, where you can actually kind of see these measuring stick moments. And it may not come out in wins and losses because people in that division will have to take losses. But clearly, I mean, I think you can watch this program and feel really good about the direction.
You mentioned the SEC West. Right now, you know, Texas A&M, Alabama obviously ranked number one. Texas A&M ranked 7th. Ole Miss 17th. Arkansas 20th, Auburn 22nd, lots of good programs in there, quality teams. Can any of them push Alabama?
No. Well, maybe push, but I mean, this year is already, you know, again, we're only 2 weeks in, so, you know, take sweeping judgments for what they are, but it's a year where, you know, all these top 10 teams appear pretty flawed. You know, we're not really sure if people are good. I mean, one thing I've said to multiple people in the last few days is just like, everybody's bad except Alabama. Like, I, you know, feel good about Alabama, but even they were, you know, they got off to such a slow start and weren't crisp that Nick Saban was pissed about it, you know, last week. And so, you know, obviously feel good about them. You know, they're going to be good. They're not going to skip a beat. Feel good about Georgia's defense. Not necessarily going to write anybody else totally off, but like, it's clear that, you know, it's going to be one of those years where, you know, we're just not sure who we want to ride with or who we feel super, super confident in. And I feel like outside of Alabama, that's true. So therefore, like, I'm just not going to – I don't like picking against or thinking against Nick Saban in Alabama, you know, unless, like, until they're buried and gone, until they lose two games and they're actually out of the race. I mean, it just doesn't feel like you can think that way about this program, and that's what's hard about the West. I do think – you know, there does seem to be a lot of depth. I think there's going to be some interesting games. But, I mean, how many times last season and in the past few years have we talked ourselves into Alabama having, you know, really actually facing a real test and, you know, it doesn't materialize? So that's where I get a little bit nervous about overhyping stuff. I guess we'll see, you know, with the Florida game, we'll have a better gauge of kind of where other SEC teams stack up, and that might give us an indication of the West as well.
Wrapping up here with Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic. Last thing before I let you go, it was disappointing, unsurprising, but disappointing last week when the Big 12 officially decided to go with BYU, Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston and passed over Memphis once again. There is some thought in realignment circles that the Big 12 will expand once again. In fact, two athletic directors, Jamie Pollard and Kirby Hokut, who work in that league, one at Iowa State, the other Texas Tech, have indicated they believe that the Big 12 will expand again, perhaps when Texas and Oklahoma leave for the SEC, whenever that actually happens. Do you believe that we're not done with conference realignment, that the Big 12 could expand again, and that if it expands again, Memphis could maybe be on the right side of the rope when everything lands?
Well, I definitely know there's hope, you know, in places like Memphis and Boise State and San Diego State and places that there is going to be another round. You know, Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, has also basically said as much. He said last week when he was doing the rounds that, like, they may not be done either. I think, you know, you also got to think about the Pac-12 when they decided to join the alliance. Their new commissioner, George Kliavkoff, said, you know, that they were going to make a decision about expansion, and they decided not at this time. I mean, he's only been in the job for like 6 weeks. You know, does he want to push for that in a year or 2 years when their media rights deal is up? And that's what we're talking about, too, with the Big 12 media rights negotiations and Texas and Oklahoma's departure. What do other conferences look like? Are we moving more and more towards mega conferences? Like, I do think that leaving that door open is smart and makes a lot of sense. And there definitely are a lot of people in this industry that do think that there could very well be another round of this, but are, you know, and also maybe the Pac-12 decides to take a look at expansion as well. So, you know, I think there's a lot of people who hope that the dust has settled and that, you know, we're now in the phase of like the group of five ripple effects, and maybe there's, you know, we eventually get to a point where things are a lot more stable. But I think people also recognize that, you know, the floor that is under our feet right now in college sports is changing really quickly. So I do think there is a thought that in 2 years from now, you know, it might be time to do it again, and we're not going to wait 10 years in between major rounds of realignment like we just did. So, yeah, I think leaving that door open makes sense. And I'm not surprised that people are acknowledging that publicly.
That is Nicole Auerbach. You can read her at The Athletic. You can listen to her on SiriusXM. Watch her on the Big Ten Network. She's on Twitter, at Nicole Auerbach. Nicole, thanks so much. I appreciate you, buddy. I hope to see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Gary. Talk to you soon.
All right. That's Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.